Welcome to the Sideman Designer, a podcast for creative minds, companies of one, and people both behind the scenes and front of house, making great work happen. Welcome back to the podcast. Been a slightly extended break, longer than I thought it was going to be, but it is back. We're back. I'm back. And I'm really pleased to be sharing some new thoughts with you. Anyone following along on Twitter will have seen there was a very brief bonus episode, a pre-season episode, that I really wanted to get out and share with you earlier in the week, probably last week now if you're listening to this, which I talked about reducing distraction and reducing the channels that, you know, we use day to day to communicate with people, because it's something that I've been focusing quite hard on recently. But, you know, that was then, this is now. The podcast is back. And first thing I'd like to talk about is Patreon. The podcast has its first Patreon supporter. So thank you very much, James Wallace. I really appreciate your support, bud. And, you know, that will go to helping get some people in for conversations, buying them a cup of coffee. Anyone else that wants to support the podcast, please do. You can find it online, patreon.com/TomJepsonCreative. I'm going to try and be much more regular with the updates, and I've let it slide if you have looked recently, because now we're into season two. So there'll be much more content going on there very soon. So what's going on with the podcast? What am I going to be doing this season? I'm going to be mixing up the formula a little bit. If you listen to any or all of season one of the show, they were mid-length conversations, thoughts, 15, 20 minute long episodes where I talked about a topic at the time. And I really enjoyed doing that. I really enjoyed putting out those thoughts, because a lot of the stuff that I shared with you was relevant to me at the time. It's still relevant to me now. And thoughts were really resonant, and they helped me solidify the things I was thinking about. But where I want to take that going forward is to try and do more faster thinking, because it's something that I'm working on for myself, which I'm going to kind of touch on in a little while. But I want to put out potentially more content and more things as I'm thinking about them, to try and be a little bit more almost reactive to the thoughts. So there'll probably be some more podcasts, maybe a couple a week. I'm not going to stick to a fixed cadence for these right now, which could be a bad plan, but you never know until you try. So there'll hopefully be more to digest. Shorter episodes, things that you can listen to on your commute, because, you know, I want to get into your ears wherever you are. So there'll be more brief things. There's also going to be some conversations with people who I respect, people who I've wanted to talk to for a long time, people who I have spoken to in the past, and a lot of people from Nottingham, which is my hometown. Our design industry is very good. Our creative industry is very, very good. I think there are going to be a lot of people who can share things which will interest you and which might make you think about creativity in a slightly different way. One thing I'm not going to do is go and talk to a whole bunch of designers just to have them talk about what they do to make products or make websites, because I think creativity and good work extends way beyond that. So that's all coming. I've got my first conversation lined up very soon, and there'll be more in the diary. If you would like to come on the show, if you think you've got something to share, or you just fancy having a chat about work, life, coffee, anything in general, you can reach out to me on Twitter at ThePixelGrid. Instagram's coming back. I've paused that, but you can get to me on Instagram, Tom Jepson Creative, or you can email me, hello@tomjepsoncreative.work. To sort of tee up a conversation, I'd really like to talk to you. So, as I mentioned at the top of the show, podcast took a break at the end of season one. I only intended to be kind of out of the loop for 3-4 weeks max, but it's gone on a little longer than that, just with the nature of the school summer holiday, kids at home, which has been wonderful. it's an absolute luxury for anyone who is a working parent to be able to do your work, feel like you're doing a good job, and to be able to spend time with the family as they're, you know, on their breaks and as they're learning new things and experiencing new things. It's a luxury, and I will not moan about it. It makes balancing things a bit of a challenge, but it's definitely not a complaint from me. So lots of time spent at home with the kids over the summer, which was brilliant. I did find myself quite busy with work. Again, I certainly can't complain about that. It keeps our lights on. It pays for all the Rice Krispies and Weetabix for the breakfasts. So it was been a bit of a balancing act over the summer, and something had to give. And the thing which gave was the podcast. It was something which I'd achieved in that amount of time, those 10 episodes. And I felt like I'd come to a milestone that didn't need to be kind of moved further forward at that point. But it's back now, and I'm really pleased to be here. I managed to read quite a few books over the summer, diverting my attention away from the screen and onto paper. For those of you who know me and who maybe have listened to the Book Club pod show that myself and some of my industry friends did last year, I am not a fan of e-readers. I am not a fan of reading books on screen, on the computer, on my iPad, whatever. I just can't get on with it. So I am very much a paper-based reader. And I bought quite a few books over the summer, interesting things that Amazon recommended to me, things that friends recommended to me. And I finished a couple of books, which feels good. First up, I'd finished reading Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which on the surface, you might think it'd be quite dry, quite preachy. As with anything that has a methodology, I'm doing great big air quotes now. But I found it a really good, solid rationalization of ways to improve what you're doing day to day for yourself, for your work, for your family. You don't need to follow each step to the letter. I know some people do. When I posted that I was reading the book on Instagram, a lot of people kind of came to me and said, oh, I love that book. I live by that book. It's my mantra. And I went into it with a very open mind because it had been highly recommended. And there are certain parts of it which I have taken away. I'm not fully utilizing them yet. I'll say that. I haven't made the time to do that yet, but I want to. It is on my agenda once I've got a few current things out of the way. But there were some parts that really did resonate with me, which just kind of stick in the back of my mind whenever I'm thinking about a new challenge or a problem. And one of which was controlling things which are within your circle of influence. You have, a world around you which you've built up, which you may not have built up, which may just exist through your actions rather than directly because of your actions. And some things within that world you can control, some things you can't control. And the chapter of the book talked about making the most and identifying those areas which are within your control. Because when you're trying to control everything in and around your world and the world that exists outside of your world, you're gonna be in for a bad time. You're gonna be in for a hard ride, and it's not gonna do you any favors. So I've been kind of keeping that little tidbit pinned in the back of my consciousness that whenever I'm approaching something or whenever I am trying to deal with a situation which may be a little bit challenging or just requires some deeper thought, doubling down on the areas which I know that I can control or which I might be able to identify that I could bring elements of control to and influence to are where I give my attention and my focus. So there's going to be plenty more to come out of that book. I'm going to revisit it at some point when I've read a few more titles off the shelf because I've got some plans and some strategies that I want to start looking at the beginning of next year, beginning of 2020, that involves reading much less. And I'm sure I'll talk about that in future episodes. But I'm going to revisit Seven Habits soon and see what other pieces I can pull out that I can maybe start actioning. Very, very recently, I picked up Rob Moore's Start Now, Get Perfect Later. This was a recommendation from Amazon, the wonderful algorithms behind my shopping list. And I, from the surface, I knew that it was about kind of procrastination and being more effective. It's a thread that I see through a lot of things that I read. It's about working better, working more efficiently, being more effective, applying yourself in ways which will deliver the most value. So I went into it again with an open mind. I wasn't sure what it was going to get. I wasn't sure if it was going to be kind of a method book or just a narrative with some insight, some kind of personal biographical stories. And as it turned out, it actually had all of those things. It had biographical insight, and there were a lot of takeaways which have proven to be very useful so far. I mean, the overriding one is you just need to start. Whatever you're doing, you just need to start. And you need to commit to taking some action. Whether that's a small action just to drive one task forward, or a very big puzzle broken down into its component parts, whatever you're doing, you just need to start. I'll be talking about this one a lot more as well. I've been through it once. I actually finished it today, an hour before I started recording this episode. And it's great. I really recommend it. It's light reading. It's not dense. The language is not dense. It's entertaining. It's also very candid at the same time. Rob doesn't pull any punches with what he's saying. And I think, you know, if you just want a bit of a pick-me-up, it's worth your time. So that's Rob Moore's Start Now, Get Perfect Later. There are plenty more books on the shelf that I'll be raving about as I get into them, I am sure, and sharing pieces that I learn and that I can start to apply to what I'm doing day in, day out. Now, as with every episode of this show, I do like to have a little thought to talk about, a discussion point, I guess, because I don't want it to be a total ramble fest every single time. It's good now and again, but maybe not all the time. And I'd already thought when I was coming to the end of season one that coming in as the kind of the first episode, maybe the first couple of episodes, I wanted to talk about strategy and the things that I've done or had planned to do in my business over a 3-month period to see if I could take myself from where I was then to a new, much more focused place over the course of 3 months with some considered rationales and activities. And so that I wanted to pick those apart a little bit and kind of share the stories with you and the places that I got to, really. Because, I a few things have dawned on me as I was going through kind of the last few months that, you know, making strategies is good, but it can actually distract you from the things that you want to do, that you need to do, the things that you're good at. Some things are very, very relevant, very, very valid. And I think the things that I'd set out to do were at the time very, very valid. But I didn't really achieve very much in any of the spheres that I set out. I think there was only one thing which I could probably say that I actually completed, short of a season of the podcast, but only one of the strategies that I actually actioned fully to turn it into something which I can now take forward. So the three big strategies and challenges that I set out for the 3 months of June, July, and August were that I wanted to revamp my personal website and my personal brand, which is now obviously my business website and business brand. I wanted to develop a product site specifically around workshopping and UX workshops to make that kind of an extension of the business and the brand. And I also wanted to publish a course on Skillshare because I felt at the time that I had insight and knowledge that I could share there to help people in their kind of their UX work. So starting with the course, I'll say that I have not yet finished it. I got quite a way into it. I actually started doing it in July, but I haven't finished it yet. For one reason or another, and I can't say that I didn't have time, or I you know, I just didn't have the motivation to get it done. I didn't make the time to get it done. I've written the course outline. I've written scripts for every episode. I've even shot the intro video, and I've recorded the audio tracks for the non-demonstration videos. But I just haven't had the motivation to carry it past the finish line. I'm not entirely sure why. I think maybe my motivation going into it was wrong. When I started this piece around the Skillshare courses, it was all about diversification of my business and the offers that I was putting out there to people. So, you know, the separate product for workshops, the Skillshare course as an arm of education, each of those were very much focused around how I could grow the business, not around the impact that I could make for somebody else. And I think because of that, I may have overstretched slightly, and my heart just wasn't in it to get this course done when there was good work to be done over the summer. I ran a couple of workshops. I completed a couple of very brief UX projects that added real value to someone else's business rather than adding longer term growth value to my own. So I don't know if I'm going to kind of crack on with the course. It's still there, it's on the board, it's on the back burner. But will it be something which is going to dramatically change the course of what I'm doing? No, probably not. Would it be fun to finish? Yeah, of course, finishing stuff is good. Will it be something which potentially generates me more business, more leads? No, I don't think it will be. I think it's something, you know, it could build some passive income. And I know there are debates around the term passive income and whether it is actually truly passive or not, especially when you're publishing educational material. But, you know, a few extra pounds in the bank account when I could be focusing on something which would actually generate more revenue through a single project or build a better relationship with someone that I can take forward, I'm kind of feeling that I need to be focusing down that track. The same goes for the workshopping project. The same goes for the workshopping product as well. I did actually get to the end of the road with that one, and I wanted to create something which somebody could buy off the shelf. So they could come to me and say, I need you to come and run X. I need to achieve Y. Can you help me? And I wanted to package up the workshop as something they could just take and I could apply to their business. As it transpires, I didn't get to the product stage with that, but what I have done is created a definition, actually three separate definitions of workshops, UX workshops, which are applicable to a number of personas and characters that I've identified in the audience of my business. And, you know, based on the experiences I've had, I can take those workshop types and I can offer them to people based on what I think they're going to do, what they need to do. And it doesn't seem like something which people may come looking for, which is why it's not ended up as a product. It's still very much a saleable service, which has quite a neat bow around it. So at least I know that I can take it off the shelf and go, right, this is what you're going to get to solve this problem within a broad realm. You know, there is still no one-size-fits-all approach to anything. But the workshops are one of my focuses. I love doing a workshop. If you ever worked with me in the past or have ever, you know, been in a workshop with me recently, you'll know that I get kind of animated and I really do enjoy having those conversations with people from the front of the room and getting everyone's input and contribute, because when everyone's contributing and everyone suddenly gets it, again, big air quotes, the whole room lights up and the direction can often change and everyone kind of just takes off and starts contributing to solving the problem we're there to do. So the workshopping is a service offer. So I can check that off the list. I feel good about that. It's going to be on the new website. I'm currently doing a website relaunch, redesign. And workshopping is now one of the core things that I offer in my business. And I'm really pleased to say that, that through experience and through a bit of careful graft, it's got to that point. So at least one of the things that I established as a strategic play to enhance the business has paid off. Coming back to the first point around my personal site, personal brand, which is now shifting away over to the business website and the business brand, I did quite a lot of process around that from June, in the very beginning of June. It was going to be the first thing that I wanted to tackle, and I wanted to have it out in a month, and I wanted to kind of identify my audience. And frankly, doing it for yourself when you're working by yourself is so hard. It's really, really hard. I look back at the resources and the materials and the outputs that I created around this redefinition of what I'm doing. And the material and the kind of the insight and the thought processes were all there, but it was bringing it together that I was lacking. I was lacking that cohesiveness around transforming it into a product that I could publish, because your website is a product of your business. Don't let anyone tell you any different. If you are a business and you have a website, it is a product. Someone is coming to you, they are going to view it, they are going to use it. If they can't access it, it's not serving its purpose. So your website is a product. But I just couldn't get it past the post on my own. I was lacking the motivation, I was lacking the challenge, I was lacking the drive. And as I was dropping the ball on some other things, like the Skillshare course, I started working with a coach, designer, strategist, Christopher Murphy, who reached out to me and, you know, asked if I wanted some help to really bring this project to life. And I cannot thank him enough for his help in driving me forward and holding me accountable and helping me focus in the areas that I needed to focus in to identify what I had, who I was pitching it towards, what kind of visual languages represented what I want to stand for, what kind of content, message, tone of voice do I want to put together. He's kind of channeled my energy to a place where I've got something which is nearly ready to go. I've been coding this week. For anyone who knows me, is not my favourite thing to do. Although when I'm in the zone, it's kind of good fun. But it's definitely not within my wheelhouse as a service offer. But, you know, when you can, you should do. Because otherwise I could be waiting forever to get the damn thing built. So I'm nearly there with being able to launch a new site, a new offer, a new brand outlook. So that's kind of there. I didn't complete it in the time frame that I was thinking of, because it took a much longer, much wider path than I thought I was going to take. And that's the same with any kind of strategic play that you lay out for yourself and any planning that you do. 9 times out of 10, it is not going to flow the way you think it's going to do. Unless you are kind of chucking sticks into a river that has been there for 100 years and that it's going to flow down the channel, it's not going to always go the direction you think it's going to go. And that's nothing to beat yourself up over, but you have to recognize that being able to change and not adhere to a plan, whether or nay, you know, is better for you and better for the outcome that you want to achieve. So where are we now? We're heading into October. And for me, I'm absolutely focusing back to on the things that I love to do. Having identified them as part of the website redesign, I now know where I should be focusing my energies and where I should be really aiming to hone my skills. And that's not to say that I'm going to completely ignore all the stuff that I can't do, don't want to do, but I'm really going to be up in my game on the tasks which will generate me income and which will give me the most impact in the areas that I want to affect. I'm going to be kind of hitting out as well at some of the weaknesses and the lesser areas which are going to be valuable to me maybe longer term that need work as well. And that's something I think everyone should do, you know, focus down on the skills that you've got that are your core skill set, the things that are in your wheelhouse, as the saying goes. And don't try and bring everything up to a level of good. Get the important stuff to great, and then just kind of float the things which need to support that. I'm steering away from being distracted too. And this is probably something for another time. But as I mentioned in the pre-season episode, I've kind of changed the way that I'm trying to communicate with people, that people can communicate with me. I'm removing elements of distraction from my daily environment. I no longer carry a phone around with me. I've changed myself to an Apple Watch that still has the cell connection and the text messages on it, so I can be reached if I need to be reached, but I'm not currently allowing myself to be distracted, because I do. As much as I want to say I don't, I do. I get very distracted very easily and I try and fill time. I'm standing in a queue, I'll be, you know, scrolling Twitter or refreshing my email or searching for something on the internet. So I'm trying to reduce my level of distraction. It's something that I pulled out from David Cadvey's Love Your Work podcast with author Nir Eyal, who's got a new book either out or coming soon about reducing distraction in your life. Nir's the author of Hooked, which is a book about making habit-forming products. So it's kind of the antithesis of that book. But something that he said in this podcast was that distractions are not our fault, but managing them is our responsibility. And that really struck a chord. And it's something that I'm trying to do for myself. So reducing the distractions and allowing me to manage them much more carefully so I can be more focused on the things that I want to focus on. I'm not going to overcommit too much. So the only thing on my strategic radar right now is getting this website relaunch out. If it takes me another 2 weeks, brilliant. If it takes me another month and I come away with something even better, great. It's still going to be the one thing that I'm launching right now. No more products, no more courses. We're just going to get this offer out into the wild and then see what comes up, see what to do with that. I've got a back burner list of projects and strategies that I want to work on, but it's not going to be an overloaded list. I'm going to allow myself one thing at a time so that I don't get that kind of overwhelm, which will then bolster the procrastination and allow me to be more distracted. For anyone listening, you can do the same. you know, you can focus down on the things that are going to make a difference to you and kind of try and work out why they're going to make a difference to you. And you can add some order to those by reducing your distractions, managing your distractions, because everything around you could be a distraction. I'm looking out the window right now and I'm already going off on a tangent. So managing those distractions and not allowing yourself to procrastinate, because to achieve what you want to achieve, you just have to start. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Sideman Designer podcast. As always, you can find me on Twitter at The Pixel Grid. You can find me on Instagram, Tom Jepson Creative. And you can find me online, tomjepsoncreative.work. The Patreon page is still live. It's going to be updated more regularly. If you'd like to be a contributor to the show, to help pay for hosting costs, to help pay for cups of coffee with some guests, you can find us online, patreon.com/TomJepsonCreative. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.